I always liked that song growing up. I remember when we got to the bass part and we were singing along. It's the time you get, as a little boy, you get to down your chin and life's evening sun. And man, you got down there in the basement and felt good about it and all that. And then I look back and I see guys going, life's evening sun. Man, you ought to hear Rodney Britt sing that one. That's an incredible song. It's going to really tie in with what we're doing here. The scripture that Jerry read a little bit ago will tie in just fine as well. But we're starting out again, almost like what we'd say is looking at our priorities, resetting them, but making sure our priorities are a God-centered priority. And again, last week we started to look at trying to take our priorities, and sometimes we list them from top to bottom. Well, what I believe we should do in a spiritual sense, because I think some people, when we do top to bottom pyramid style of putting our priorities in place, some people believe that they have to give up certain activities. What I mean is for your children and stuff like that, to go to a church event, okay? Now, I'm not talking about ignoring being together, ignoring building relationships, but trying to say, well, I'm more godly because I'm a part of this activity compared to I pulled my kids out. Do, no matter what our families are involved in, no matter what I'm involved in at work on an everyday basis, that God is the center of our priority of every day, every moment, everything that we ever do. Because what he says is that in word and in deed, do all in my name. And so that's not just saying, well, I'll put God over here, but I'm going to have to put a bigger time involved. God is all of our time. God's going to be your priority this afternoon. God's going to be your priority when you go to work tomorrow, when you go to school tomorrow, when you go to the grocery store. But what does that mean? You know, I've heard people, you know, even Christians say, well, you can't make God first all the time. Oops. There's a command in Scripture to love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I don't know about you, I take my heart, mind, soul, and strength everywhere I go. And so how do we make a God-centered living so that when we're participating in life, when we're participating in our marriage, in our families, in our school activities, in coming together and making church be what church God says for it to be, not what man has made it to be, then we make God the center of our whole life. So it's not about going to church. It's hearing the call to be church. Okay, church is the called out ones, the community of believing people who belong to Jesus Christ. And that's why we should start describing ourselves as. Because they'll say, well, what church do you go to? Church of Christ. Well, where are you located? Well, all around town. And then they look at you funny. But when they look at you funny, that gives you the opportunity to say, well, let me explain myself. We're a community of believers who belong to Jesus Christ, and we come together certain times of the week to try to encourage each other to stay focused, to make God the center of our life. That's how you can explain this church. And that's what we probably need to start maybe resetting our mindset. Because too many of us are still living in, I go to church instead of be the church. Okay? And we got to ask ourselves those questions. But how do you make that change? Well, I believe we're going to hit on a word today. And man, you'll be grateful that it won't even seem this. But actually, I had 3 points today. I said way too much. Let's dare it to one. When you find out what this one's going to take to understand, you're going to say, well, I thought that was a 3-point lesson. Okay? Well, actually, I'm going to focus on one point. one word this morning. Now, before I read the passages, I've got to ask this question. Is Jesus Lord? Yeah, you can talk to me. This is participation time. Is Jesus Lord?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Here's a question we need to consider. Are you self-centered or God-centered? Now, some categories of your life you're going to say, I'm God-centered. But also some categories of our life, well, if we truly admit ourselves and look into the mirror of the Word, you're going to find out how self-centered you are. Now, that's not a slam. That's just us as humans trying to let Jesus be who he is in my life. And when I actually realize this, now here's the question. I heard you believe that Jesus is Lord. But the key question is he your Lord? Oh, he's Lord. But is he yours? Now, what does that mean? I believe in order for us to have God in the all categories of all of our life working on, because it's a battle between self-centeredness and God-centeredness. It really is. Satan will want you to serve yourself. Why? Because that's what he chose to do. He was serving God as an angel, and to the point he didn't want to serve God no more. He wanted to be served and be his own God. And that's the battle of humanity. That happens to every human. We struggle with making ourselves the center of our life instead of making sure that God is. Now, again, that's easy to say, and we'll get behind it. I'll die for you, Jesus. Aren't you one of his followers? I don't even know him. Remember a disciple of Jesus's that said those things? We know it's a battle. It's a battle for them. So, here's our word. Go to the next slide. In a word, what's it mean to have Jesus as Lord? Now, he is Lord, but what's it mean to have him as my Lord? Okay? Now, Lord, you can put this down in your notes in the family news. Lord means someone having power, authority, or influence, a master or a ruler. That's Lord. So, if we go back to our initial question, is Jesus someone with power? Is Jesus someone with authority? Is Jesus someone who has influence? Is Jesus a master, and is Jesus a ruler? Now, us as church people, we're going to say yes to that. But the difficult one to admit is he Kevin's power over sin? Is he the authority that I run to say, it's not about what I want, it's about what you want? What do you want me to be? How do you want me to react? How do you want me to see this person? And then, is Jesus my influence to where I practice the things that he practiced? So, in a little bit, we're going to look at scriptures that we've been called to live. And am I willing to let Jesus live inside of me to make some kind of influence to other people? And is he my master? Is he my ruler? Is he the one that in prayer I tell him, Lord, I'm going to read your word and I'm going to look at your life, and I'm going to see how you interacted, and I want to see what you taught the followers of yours, because I'm a follower. I'm a disciple, and I want to make you Lord. I want your power to overcome the sin in my life. I want your authority to be my rule. And so, I'm going to have to find out how you want me to be in certain situations. I mean, you can go to scripture after scripture. You can go to Paul's letter to the Philippians. And just a description of what Jesus did was, he humbled himself, okay? And he didn't come down here as God to be served. He came down here as God to serve. So he humbled himself. Made himself out to be a servant. Now, if you go a few verses right up in chapter 2 of Philippians before that, actually Paul says, then your attitude should be the same, that of Christ Jesus. Wow. When I look in that mirror, I find out how self-centered I am instead of God-centered. But that's not doom and gloom. That's everybody in this room, because we have a Savior. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But let me give you an illustration of Lord. How to make Jesus your Lord. Okay. A pastor named Tommy Henson shared this illustration about Christ's call to be a follower or a disciple of his. Now, he shared that some evenings, he and his son, Riley, enjoy watching YouTube videos of space shuttle launches, and they do it together. It also means that for the astronaut, I'm going too far down. So he watches this with his son, Riley. There is a point at the end of the video where you hear a phrase. And at the end of, now see again, they're watching this rocket, this ship with astronauts in it, this space shuttle, and it launches and it's going up in the air, and then at the end of the video, they hear this statement at the end, negative return. Now, that doesn't mean a whole lot to you and I, but it means a whole lot to the astronaut. Okay, now, listen to this. According to NASA, on their official website, negative return occurs when the space shuttle is already flown far enough downrange and too high to return to the exact launch site that it just left. So here's the space shuttle going up. You always see it. It's as it gets higher, it's not going straight up. It seems to curve. Okay? Well, the distance that it's flying, it goes so far downrange, it goes so high to the point to where if it returned back to Earth, it would not return to the launch spot. That's negative return. Okay? Now watch this. He goes on and illustrates this. He said, it also means that for the astronaut, they are now to the point where they are assured of making it into orbit. They've gone high enough, they're going to make it into orbit. They're going to get there, which is the whole point of the shuttle launch. Shuttle launches are not meant to not make it to orbit. They're meant to reach it. Okay, now, keep a hold of that. Now he goes on and he says this. Jesus is calling you and I to cross the point of negative return. To let go of the option to return back to where you were before you met Jesus and involved him in your life. Whatever your identity was, whatever your sense of purpose was, before you came to Jesus, you need to leave all possibility of, and at least intentions, and make every effort to the possibility of returning back to that person before you met Jesus is just wiped away. Some have committed their lives to Jesus years ago here this morning. But for some reason, you may need to recommit. Return back to the commitment you made. For others, this might be the very day that you make a decision to commit yourself to Jesus Christ. But just to be clear, let's look today at exactly what you and I are committing to when we decide to follow Jesus and have a God-centered priority. So number one, starting out, am I committing Jesus Christ as Lord of my life? Am I committing myself to his Lordship? Look what Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15. Set apart in your hearts Christ as Lord. Now go back, what he's saying, set apart Jesus Christ as your power, authority, your influence, your master, and your ruler. That's what he's saying of your life. So, I commit myself to Jesus' Lordship. When we discover God and we recognize that Jesus is God in the flesh, we find ourselves in the position of needing to make a decision. That decision is to either to accept him or to reject him. That's the only choice you have. I'm either going to accept him or reject him. Those who choose to accept Jesus make these two decisions concerning him. Number one, most enjoyed, most talked about, most savored, and then we're going to get on the one that it's not. But first of all, is number one, this is in your notes, to accept Jesus as your Savior. Now, praise God we have a Savior, because I tell you one thing, Jesus being Lord, when you look at yourself and it comes to the conclusion that, I'm not setting myself apart, I'm not allowing God to change who I am, I don't even know if I'm committed my life to him. And see how church systems can really mess our thinking up? Because for some reason we feel just by attendance alone makes you a follower. There's a lot of people that was in the presence of Jesus, never followed him. Never did. But when we find out that as our quest is to make him Lord, we need him as our Savior. Because he will forgive you. And it just goes right around in a circle, because once you know that you've accepted the cross of Jesus Christ, that his blood will forgive you of your sin, every time you make him Lord and you're finding out the sin in your life, then you need him as your Savior. And it will motivate you to make him your Lord more and more. Okay? So they work hand in hand. Scripture tells us, God's told us, Jesus Christ is both Lord and Savior. Now, everybody likes the Savior part. Kyle Idleman has really hit the nail on the head in some of the materials that he's come out with about, and there's nothing wrong with this part, about being a fan of Jesus because of what he's done for you. But Jesus didn't call us to just watch him do the ministry of God. Jesus has called us not to be just fans of what we read about. He's called us to follow, to put it into practice ourselves. So, brothers and sisters, I believe we will have a hard time making Jesus as Lord if we don't understand the Savior part of Jesus, and we'll have a hard time making him your Savior if we don't understand the Lord of Jesus. Because if I don't make him Lord, I'm not going to get rid of sin. I just serve myself. And then everybody sits back and says, well, but by the grace of God. Well, yeah, but by the grace of God, I know in Romans, Paul met up with a group of people that said, well, if grace is given because of sin, let's go out and just sin more so we can get more grace. And he's like, by no means. Get that out of your mind. It's by God's grace and your faith you will be saved. And then that should make us accept him as Lord. And when you accept Jesus as our Lord, he doesn't want to leave you in your sin. He wants to lead you away from your sin. Okay? I'm getting a little bit of puzzled looks. That just means I get to preach on this a little bit more. Okay? So, all right. Now, unfortunately, there's so many people who make the claim of following Jesus but don't follow through with it. So I want you to go to, with me, Matthew chapter 7. I know some of us, if you can't get on the internet, I apologize. Bob and I have been rebooting a thing over there. It is? It's working now. Okay, good. Like Tim Hawkins says, no need to reboot. He's got a shotgun. Don't take care. But here we go, Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read this to you. Something we teach the kids, something we think sometimes is a cute song to have during VBS. But it's a wake-up call to us spiritually. Starting in verse 21, Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. But therefore, I always like what Marvin says. Anytime you run into the word therefore, read about what it's there for. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams and rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it did not fall, because it had a foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. This rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, it beat against that house, and that house fell with a great smash, crash. That is so humbling to read, because I can verbally say Jesus is Lord, but I don't make him my Lord until I put into practice what he tells me to live. Okay? Now, again, I don't want us to leave here as whipped puppies. I really don't. I'm going to try to leave here and leave this lesson with you to the point that you can say, you know, I realize some things about myself, and I thank God he wants to give me Jesus as my Savior, because there's areas of my life I'm not making him Lord, and since he's now my Savior, I'm going to go and get forgiveness, and because I receive forgiveness, I'm going to be determined to put into practice the things that Jesus wants me to do. That's hopefully that's the motivation. Now, we need to be in the Word to be able to do that. We need to have relationships in order to do that. See, that's where I'm hearing now today. That's why sometimes preaching is kind of down on the scale that it doesn't really help people. And I kind of understand why. You know what's more effective? It's for you to go home and sometime this week take your family news and look up all these passages and to see if what has been said this morning is true, and if it's true for you, put it into practice and watch God work. Then that'll make preaching powerful. But just for me to be up here waxing off a bunch of scriptures, if you guys don't put them into practice, if I don't put it into practice, it will not help us when the storms come to our life. It just won't. So rock solid living is what he just called us to. And the difference between a foolish builder and a wise builder is just one thing. One puts into practice and the other one doesn't. So you have to ask yourself, I have to ask myself, am I a foolish builder or a rock solid builder? God's calling us. I believe God's calling this church. I really do. The thing is that I need to try to help, and Purcell and Tim will try to help, and Mads and Elizabeth will try to help, but everybody can help each other to say, what is God calling us to do? What's he wanting us to be? And I'm going to need help putting into practice those things that Jesus commands. And we're actually not equipping right by ignoring one another passages, because you need to obey the one another commandments in order to be able to have the encouragement to have a rock solid living. Because I tell you, the storms will come. And we got to be there for one another. And we got to share those things. God's calling. And are we calling on the name of the Lord? I want to just let you listen to this. Now, if you want to follow along, it's in Romans 10. Listen to these words that Paul writes. Brothers and sisters, my heart desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. God is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Now, jump down to verse 8. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and, okay, now again, yes, we're making a statement, Jesus is Lord. Yes, he's Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, how's that happen? Just because I believe the event happened? I believe what this passage that's being written is, if Jesus is Lord and he is your Lord, then there's an impact and influence and authority that has happened on the cross, but from the cross went to the grave, and from the grave he walked out of. And when you believe in that, that will save you from your sin, because Jesus is going to call you to walk the same path. Die, bury, and walk out of the grave. Wow. That's that new creation that scriptures talk about. So I'm going to leave you with these verses. And I want you to be a Berean. Rob Michael and I met, and Mads has been meeting with us as well on Wednesday night, and talking about, again, this is a family that came to the food pantry and has come to some of our events. And finally, it's come to a point, at least Rob is sitting down on a Wednesday night and opening up Scripture and is studying. Okay? And we're praying really hard that this will have an impact. And we're going to, I believe God's going to drawing at some point to a decision to accept Jesus as his Savior and his Lord. We're trying to get there. But if we don't know what we're being called to be, how do we share with other people what they should be? What's their calling? Okay? So I want you to be a Berean. This is one of the things that I wrote down in the notes that I asked Rob to write down in his notes. I said, well, Rob, I just want to encourage you to be a Berean. And he looks at me really funny. And he's like, Berean? What's that mean? I said, well, it's a group of people that God had mentioned in the book of Acts in chapter 17 that had they were known for their noble character. And he's like, well, what made them noble? Good question. I said, what made them noble was they didn't take what the apostles were telling them about Jesus. They went home and actually examined the scriptures to find out, and they didn't need to have to say that the apostles gave them the truth. They found out the truth from God's word that the apostles said that was truth to be accurate. Now they will respond to that truth. So they're not responding to the apostles. They're responding to the message. Now, here's the call. If I don't understand what I'm called to be, leaders are going to be meeting with some families here this afternoon. Here's some of the verses that we felt like that needed to be covered. Do we understand what we're called to? Because if we don't understand what we call our call, we won't call people. And we need to help each other in this calling. Number one, Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. You can look these up at home. But I want you to be a Berean. Go home, be of noble character, and look at these passages. But you're going to find out in those four verses, that God and Jesus is calling us to be salt of the earth and light to the world. He's calling us to say, you need to add flavor. You need to add an influence to other people. You need to preserve some things in people's lives. You need to not hide God working in you. And you need to get up and display it by doing good deeds to other people. And then you get to brag about God and you'll talk about the true light, but you're letting the true light be your light and you are light to the world. Now, that's a whole different perspective if I'm self-centered. If I'm self-centered, I won't know that and I won't even try to be salt and light. You know, there's people in your week this week that desperately need your influence for God. Desperately. Might be a nurse at the hospital. Might be a doctor that walks into the room. Oh, he knows you physically, but if he doesn't know Jesus, he's lost. And so they may need your influence. I'm just an ordinary man. Unschooled and ordinary men. Sounds like a good portion of the 12. Here's another thing he's calling us to. Matthew 22. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Because if you don't, when your neighbor is unlovable, you won't love them unless you love God. And he'll call you to it. I even got a call after last week's lesson this week. I'm not going to go into great detail, but it seemed like hopefully it's going to be a good influence. I mentioned Bob did a class that Milton Jones put together, this little booklet, How to Love Somebody You Just Cannot Stand. I mean, you absolutely can't stand them. Well, then how can I love them as my neighbor because they're nearby me every day and I can't stand them? then love God first, and he'll teach you how to love that neighbor you cannot stand. And somebody called and said, I need the booklet. And I left the booklet for them. They got in the building. That booklet's gone. I don't know where, who, did you order them, Bob? Is there a way we can get some more? Because I can't find any more. Because I have a feeling after this series, there's going to be a lot of people asking for that. How do I love somebody I just cannot stand? Well, love God first, and then he'll teach you how to love other people. Mark 10, who's going to be great among you? If you want to be great in God's eyes, you will learn how to become a servant to people. If you're self-centered, you're going to struggle with this. If you're God-centered, he will teach you as you look at Jesus and put it into practice. How to serve and not to be served. John 10, Jesus is the gate. There's nobody else. For sheep to enter into the safety realm, to where they could be fed, where they don't have, they can actually be fed on the word and don't have to worry about what the evil one's going to do because somebody's looking out after making sure they block the evil one. You know, that is called a shepherd, and that's why churches appoint shepherds. To be the gate, be right there with Jesus as the gate so that the sheep can examine the word and don't let all the evil things. We should never get mad at a church leader, a spiritual leader that sees sin in our life and just comes and asks, can we help you with it? As we would open up to say, would you help me with mine? And so, if I want Jesus as my gate, he will block the entrance of the enemy who is seeking out to steal, kill, and destroy me. In the last verse, Christ's love for us, that Savior type of love, is what compels us that he died for everyone. And he died for me. And those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Wow. So, the two questions we have you accepted Jesus as your Savior, and have you accepted him as your Lord? That's how we begin a God-centered life. So that you can make family, work, sports, school, whatever, be influenced by you with God's power. Henry Blackaby, last statement here. Henry Blackaby wrote a book, you want an intense Bible study. Go to the Christian bookstore and buy Experiencing God. It's intense, but I believe it's needed. So, Caitlin, go to the next slide. Here's a statement that he made. The reality is that the Lord never calls the qualified. He qualifies the called. Let's pray. Father, we want today... to recommit. And I suppose all of us in the certain areas of our life, we need to continue to do that. But Father, help us not to just accept what you've done for us, even though that is the beginning point, and that is a very important point to understand what you've done for us, so that our motivation to live life will not be no longer for ourselves, but to live for you. That it's no longer me that lives, but Christ lives in me. And we're going to sing a song about where we have our true victory, and that's in Jesus, our Son, and there's need to be people to respond here. I know we're going to pray about physical things that's happening, but there's some people this morning right here need to respond and recommit or make a commitment decision, and we'll baptize them into your Son. Call them. Call them. And may they receive. It's through the power and the authority of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ.